Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
All persons have any business before the Honorable Beverly Canoni, Justice of the Norfolk Superior Court, and for the County of Norfolk. Draw near, give your attendance, you shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This court is now open. You may be seated.
22-117, the Commonwealth versus Karen Reed.
Good morning, counsel. Good morning, Ms. Reed.
Good morning, jurors.
Good morning.
So I'm going to ask you those 3 questions. Were you all able to follow the instructions and refrain from discussing this case with anyone since we left yesterday?
Yes.
Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Were you also able to follow the instruction and refrain from doing any independent research or investigation into this case?
Yes.
Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Did anyone happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case since we left yesterday?
No.
Everyone said no or shook their heads. Thank you very much. May we have Mr. McCabe, please?
I do.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Lally, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Where left off yesterday, you had gone to bed on the 28th, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Friday night.
And at some point you woke up on the later in the morning on the 29th, correct?
Yes, Saturday morning.
And do you recall, sir, what awoke you on that morning?
Yes, I do.
What was that, sir?
I awoke to the screaming of Jen, Jen, Jen. So when I woke up, I thought there was somebody in my bedroom. I kind of snapped up out of bed. What the hell's going on? Looking around the room, realized my wife was actually on the phone.
And the screaming that you heard, how loud was that, sir?
It was loud enough to wake me up from a dead sleep. I could hear it. It was loud. Obviously, I was laying in bed and realizing after my wife was laying right next to me on the phone. But it was a loud, Jen, Jen, Jen. It was repetitive.
And do you know approximately what time that was, sir?
Yeah, shortly before 5 a.m.
And did you recognize the voice that you heard screaming?
I did not recognize the voice.
And as far as that phone conversation went on for, let me ask you this first. As far as that phone conversation was concerned, could you hear both sides of that conversation?
Yes, I could.
And that was based on the volume of the person speaking on the other end, correct?
Correct.
And eventually, were you able to recognize or identify the voice on the other end of your wife's conversation?
Yes, I asked my wife, what the hell is going on? After I woke up and popped up, looking around the room to find out who's in my bedroom, assuming it was a kid, one of my kids screaming, I asked my wife, what is going on? And I could hear her saying, I'm on the phone with Karen. She can't find John.
And from the course of that conversation continues while you were in your bedroom, is that correct?
Yeah, that conversation continued for a couple minutes. I could hear the dialogue, and then again, right back to Jen, 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 the repeating of my wife's name again.
And as far as the dialogue was concerned, specifically from the defendant, Ms. Reed's perspective, what if anything, do you recall about that?
She didn't know where John was, and the last time she saw him was at the waterfall.
And about how long did that initial phone call or that initial conversation between your wife and the defendant go on for?
From when I woke up, minute and a half, 2 minutes, I don't know the exact time.
And after,
give or take.
You recall how that conversation ended? Did your wife hang up or?
Yes, they hung up the phone. I was laying in the bed. My wife was next to me. And I think my wife immediately called somebody else, was calling friends that lived near the waterfall that happened to be out that evening. And she started making those phone calls.
And as your wife was making those phone calls, what, if anything, did you say to her?
Objection.
What, if anything, did he say to her?
Yes.
To.
No, I'm not going to let you testify to that. Next question.
With respect to the defendant's statement, the last time she saw Mr. O'Keefe was at the waterfall, what, if anything, occurred to you in reference to that?
In reference to her saying she last saw him at the waterfall, I then told my wife, what are you talking about?
So I'll ask not what you said, sir, but I think Mr. Lally asked you what you thought, or what you gathered from that.
I thought she was crazy.
And why was that?
Because I saw her vehicle. I saw the black SUV arrive to the 34 Fairview that morning.
You had overheard the conversation from Mr. O'Keefe to your wife the night previous, correct?
That's correct.
And so what happened then?
I told my wife, what are you talking about?
Objection.
Who she was at?
Not what you said to your wife.
All right, sorry.
It's hard. Ask the question, Mr. Lally, so that he can answer it properly.
So your wife made some phone calls in your presence, correct?
Yes, she did.
And following those phone conversations, what, if any, other conversations did she have with the defendant that morning?
There were multiple calls. I don't recall what calls were made, what time, but the next call, we were informing the defendant that, wait, we saw your car. We saw you come to 34 Fairview. You guys were there. And I heard the response of, I don't remember. I don't remember going there.
And what, if any, other conversation do you recall in those subsequent phone conversations that you overheard from the defendant?
At some moment, as I said, my wife had made a couple phone calls. In one of the calls with Karen Reed, she blurted that she broke her taillight, cracked her taillight, something to that effect, while we were, while Jen and I were still in the bedroom and she was on the phone.
And as your wife and you were in the bedroom and your wife was on the phone, what, if anything, were the two of you doing?
After my wife had made a few calls, we were completely confused on where John was. The thought process in our head at that moment was we knew that John had mentioned that he was potentially going to be meeting up with another person. So we called that individual, my wife called that individual to see if by chance, again, confused, left at the waterfall, we saw them at the house. Did John not go with her? Did what happened? Did he get out of the car? Did he go somewhere else? So we proceeded to call a couple other people that we thought he possibly might have met up with, another individual.
From those other phone calls that you observed your wife making at any point in time, other than her conversations with the defendant, did you observe her to have any conversation with anybody?
You're asking if my wife did?
What I'm asking is, not to any content or anything like that, but your wife made phone calls, correct?
That is correct.
And when she made those phone calls, did you observe her conversing with anybody on the phone?
No, she did not speak to anybody. Nobody answered any of our calls.
And at some point, did you yourself reach out to Mr. O'Keefe?
Yes, I did.
And how did you do that?
I know I texted him, and I think I called him as well. Pretty much, where the hell are you? I think it was when Karen Reed and my wife were leaving my house. I think I responded, where the hell are you? Now Karen and Jen are out looking for you.
And in regard to those text messages, did you receive any response from Mr. O'Keefe?
I did not.
And with regard to those texts, you had Mr. O'Keefe programmed into your phone, is that correct?
Yes, I did.
And you had had prior conversations with him via text message and phone using that number that you had programmed into your phone?
Yes.
So no response to the text as far as the phone call that you placed to Mr. O'Keefe. Did he answer? Did you speak with him at all?
I did not speak to Mr. O'Keefe.
Now, at some point, do you and your wife proceed downstairs?
My wife proceeded downstairs. I remained in the bedroom.
And what is the next thing that you remember occurring that moment?
While I was getting dressed, I put my jeans on. My wife went downstairs. She was going to make a coffee. My wife and I were proceeding to leave. We were going to leave our house and make a drive to the house of the gentleman that my wife was calling that we possibly thought John could have met up with. And within that moment, again, I don't know the exact time, I then heard yelling out in my front yard.
And when you heard the yelling in your front yard, what did you do?
I realized it was Karen Reed, and I told my wife to please tell her to shut up. She's going to wake up the whole neighborhood.
And where is it, or when is this in relation to that first phone call when you sort of shoot up out of it?
At least a half hour, give or take. Again, I don't know the exact time.
Now, at any point after you hear the yelling out front, you hear the defendant yelling out front, what was she yelling at that point?
She again repeated, Jen, Jen. She for some reason kept repeating my wife's name. I don't know if she got all the way to my doorway or my wife walked out, but my wife had said, I was actually relieved because I was like, not thinking what happened to John happened to John. I was just thinking he was on somebody's couch. So I was like, good, I'm not going to look for him. Thinking my wife was going to go. My wife said she's going to go with Karen to go find John.
And at any point in time that morning when the defendant arrived at the house, did you actually go outside or look outside? Or?
I did not go outside. I did look out the blinds of my bedroom window, which is the closest to the driveway.
What, if anything, did you see when you looked out the blinds?
Saw Karen's car in my driveway.
Did you see the defendant, Ms. Reed, anywhere outside as well?
I don't recall physically seeing her. I saw the vehicle. I don't recall seeing her directly, making any physical contact as far as seeing her.
Now, what, if any, concerns did you have in reference to your wife going out with Ms. Reed at that particular time?
I had mentioned to my wife before she was leaving the house that the...
I'll allow this. What were your concerns?
My concerns were she was going to be driving with Ms. Reed in their vehicle, in Ms. Reed's vehicle, and my concerns were that she had a broken taillight. What I thought by a broken taillight was that her taillight was out, meaning there was no light. And I didn't think it was a bright idea to be driving around with no physical light on the taillight.
Particularly given the weather, is that fair to say?
Because of the weather, correct.
And so your wife then leaves with Ms. Reed, is that correct?
That is correct.
You know, did you happen to see like who got in where as far as the car, who was driving when they left?
I did not see that, no.
Now, was that within the same time frame that you were describing before, about a half hour after you hear the initial call?
Yes, from when, from Ms. Reed arriving at my house was, yes, half hour or so after the initial call, and it wasn't long after before they proceeded to go, to leave.
Now, at this time that you're looking out from the blinds, and you see the defendant's car and the defendant outside, was it light out? Was it dark out? What are we talking about?
It was dark out.
And so they leave in your home with your four children, correct?
That is correct.
And when was the next time that you spoke to your wife?
The next time I spoke to my wife was an hour later. I received a phone call from her. I don't know the exact time, but I'm going to say about an hour or so.
And without reference to much of the content of that, all I'm really asking for is, what if any indication did she give you as to where she was?
She indicated they found John and at Fairview.
And upon receiving that information, where did you go?
I proceeded to finish getting dressed and drove over to Fairview.
And when you got to Fairview, what, if anything, did you see when you arrived?
When I got to Fairview, I had come down through the Chapman Street entrance, and as I proceeded down the hill towards the Albert residence, I noticed all the first responders, fire engine, et cetera, police cars. And I realized I was not going to be able to get to the Albert residence because it was all blocking the street. So I backtracked, turned around, went back up Fairview to the top to Chapman, took a left, and took a left down Spring Lane, which is a parallel street to Fairview, and came down Spring Lane to Cedar Crest onto Fairview so I could get to the Albert household.
Now, during your drive from your home over to Fairview and doing all that sort of turning around and coming back around the other way to Cedar Crest, what were the roads like?
It was snowing, careful driving.
And the snowing that you observed that morning when you drove from your house to Fairview, what was that like in relation to the snowing that you observed when you were driving home from Fairview hours before?
Much thicker snow, much more snow on the ground, much more snow to wipe off my car. And again, I had to drive slow.
Now, when you come around to sort of the other side, as far as the first responders, you mentioned police cruisers and a fire truck, is that right?
Yeah, there might have been an ambulance there as well, but yes.
Do you recall specifically seeing an ambulance?
I do recall seeing an ambulance. I don't know if I saw it when I came down or if I saw it when I eventually parked the car, but I do recall seeing an ambulance.
And when you parked the car, where did you go?
I proceeded on to Fairview, and I parked the car along the side of the road. Because there was another vehicle in front of me. I believe the other vehicle might have been blocking the driveway, but there was another vehicle right on the side of the road as well.
Now, in addition to the other vehicles, as far as cruisers, fire truck, or whatever from first responders, what, if any, other vehicles, or who, if anyone else, did you see outside of the house?
There was a. It ended up being Kerry Roberts' vehicle was parked as I was at the driveway. Ford Explorer, I think it was.
And again, without any reference to the content of the conversation, did you have any conversation with Ms. Roberts at that time?
Yes, I did.
Did you know Ms. Roberts at that time?
I knew who she was. Didn't really have a relationship with her, but I knew who she was.
And how did you know who she was?
Friends through the town. She did live in the Ponkapog neighborhood, though I believe she moved in and we moved out shortly after. I don't know the actual time period. Her kids were a couple years younger. One was 1 year younger than my child, so I knew who her child was through being the grade beneath my youngest child through soccer.
And just to be clear, when you talk about the Ponkapog neighborhood, that's where you used to live on Sutcliffe and where Mr. O'Keefe used to live in the house that was the Furbush's house.
Yes, that's correct.
So then, after your conversation with Ms. Roberts, about how long was that conversation?
Oh, that was a brief conversation. She informed me that she was going to pick up the, she informed me Karen was going, she was dropping Karen off back at the house. She was going to the hospital and she was going to pick up John's parents in Braintree. I told her I would come with her to pick up the parents. Like I said, the road conditions were pretty bad. And, just for safety reasons, I thought I would go with her, help her go pick up the parents. She informed me that Jen was in the house. Jen is waiting to be interviewed by the police.
So where did you go from there?
I then proceeded to the front door of 34 Fairview.
And when you got inside, who, if anyone, was inside when you got in?
When I got to the front door, it was my wife, Brian Albert, Nicole Albert, and Officer Lank.
And when you came in, can you describe, starting with your wife, Jennifer McKay, can you describe her demeanor when you first came into the house?
Shocked. Just, face was drawn, just kind of in awe. All three of them were just looking like, with a drawn face of, I'm walking and going, what the hell is going on?
And just to be clear, by all three of them, you mean your wife, Brian Albert, Nicole Albert?
Correct.
And just turning back briefly to the phone conversation that you had from your wife, which led you to come over to Fairview in the first place, how would you describe her demeanor on that phone call as well?
Matt, we found John at Fairview. It was a quick conversation. I didn't get any details.
Now, at some point, while you were at the house, did you speak to, you mentioned Officer Lank was there, is that correct?
That's correct.
Recall if there was any other officers in the house at that time or at any later time?
At that moment, it was just Officer Lank at that moment. Other officers came in the house a little later, but at that moment, it was just Officer Lank.
And at some point, while you were at the house, did you have any conversation, or what, if any, conversation did you have with Officer Lank or any other officer?
Yes, Officer Lank asked me to step outside, and we spoke briefly. He asked me about if I knew what happened to John. Obviously, I told him no. I had no idea. I'm just finding out right now. He asked me when I last saw John. I told him I saw him at the waterfall. We saw him at the bar. We haven't seen him. I believe, again, heat of the moment, I believe I said we saw his vehicle out front, but we never saw John.
Now, at the house on Fairview, about how long were you there that morning?
I'm going to say give her at least 4 hours.
From the time that you got there?
From the time I got there, yes.
And where did you go from there?
when I left Fairview. I went back to my house on Jen and I's house, home.
And your children were still there, is that correct?
My children were all there, correct.
And at some point after you arrived home, who, if anyone else, as far as police officers or anybody like that, came to your home that day?
Two Mass State police officers came to my house.
And did you speak with those officers?
Yes, I did.
Troopers from the state police, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And as far as the troopers that you spoke to, do you recall what their names were?
Yes. Trooper Michael Proctor and Trooper Yuri Buchanek, if I said it right.
Closer than you. Now, on that date of January 29th, 2022, had you met either Trooper Proctor or Trooper Buchanek before?
I had never met them.
And where did they speak with you in the house?
Well, they first came in the house and informed me they were going to interview my wife and asked me to leave the room. I went up to my bedroom.
And at some point, did they interview you as well?
Yes, they did.
And where was your wife when they interviewed you?
I think she wasn't in the room with me. I think she went upstairs. As I said, my kids were home. I don't know if she went in the kids' bedroom to kind of wake them up. And I don't know what she was
in the room when they interviewed you, correct?
No, she was not.
And in addition to the troopers who came over to your house, did your brother-in-law, Brian Albert, did he come over at any point in time around this?
Yes, he did.
And if you know, did he speak with those troopers as well?
Yes, he did.
And where were you and your wife when the two troopers were speaking to Mr. Albert?
I was still upstairs in the bedroom.
Your wife, where was she?
She might have come up and seen me, but I think she might have went in the girls' bedroom. I don't recall if we were standing in the same room. I think she might have went to my daughter's bedroom. Again, my kids were starting, I don't know the exact time, 12 o'clock, give or take. So, time to wake up.
So the troopers, when they were speaking to Brian Albert Sr., they were in the downstairs area of the home?
Yes, they were.
And both you and your wife were upstairs?
Yes, that's my recollection.
Now, turning your attention to a couple days later, did you speak with any other troopers from the state?
I did. I only remember the first name of one of them. It was a man and a woman. I just remember Connor something. I don't know their names.
And where did that conversation occur?
I was in my first floor dining room table.
And do you know if those same two troopers that came on a subsequent date spoke with your wife as well?
Yes, they did.
And sort of same arrangement as far as where you were and where she was at the time that you spoke with those two troopers?
Yes, that's correct.
Can I have a moment, John?
Sure.
Briefly, sir. So, describing your wife's demeanor, you described her to sort of be in shock. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Have you seen your wife display that kind of demeanor before, or have you seen your wife in sort of crisis mode over the course of your relationship and your marriage?
I've seen her in crisis mode. I would call it crisis mode as well in the past.
And sort of typically, how would you describe how she handles situations like that or what her demeanor is in those types of situations?
She is very calm, very calm.
And when, just so it's clear for the jury, so when you're talking about sort of prior incidents in regard to sort of crisis motives, what types of scenarios or what types of incidents are we talking about?
Well, I'll allow it.
Previous deaths. Deaths of my parents, my brother. She's the one that can get in the room, sit, relax, hold their hand, make them feel comfortable. She's much more. I can't do that. She's much more. So she's done that with my family, and she's also done that with our neighbor.
Nothing further. Thank you, sir.
All right, Ms. Gianetti.
Thank you, Your
Honor. Awesome. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. McKidd.
Good morning.
I'd like to start by discussing January 22nd, the week prior to January 29th. Do you remember that Saturday?
Yes, I do.
You had been at one of your daughter's hockey games that day?
If it's the Saturday before, we're saying?
Yes.
Yes, I was.
And you wound up going to the Hillside in Canton, correct?
That is correct.
You went with your wife, Jennifer McCabe?
Yes.
When you got there, you saw Karen Reed and John O'Keefe there together, correct?
I was there previous to them, but yes, okay. I saw them there, yes. I saw them there.
I should have phrased the question that ultimately you ran into John and Karen together, correct?
Yes, I did.
And when you came in contact with them, you and your wife and Brian Albert and his wife, Nicole, who's your sister-in-law, hung out with Karen Reed and John O'Keefe, correct?
Yes, there was a big group of people hanging out together, correct.
There were other people in addition to the ones that I've just named?
Yes, there were.
So you were with John and Karen for maybe around an hour or so that night of January 22nd?
I'd say, I don't know exactly what time they arrived, but yes, I'd say they were there for at least an hour.
And during that hour span of time, they appeared to be enjoying each other's company?
Yes.
And the two of them had arrived together, correct?
They walked in together, yes.
And there were no problems that night that you could see between John and Karen, correct?
That, yes, I did not see any problems.
Okay. Now, moving on to the waterfall on January 29th, I am not going to go through with you who arrived when and who left when and where people sat at which table. We're going to skip all that, and I'd like to streamline the questioning if I can. And I just want to talk to you about two or three areas. You would agree that at the waterfall, the mood among the people who were there was festive, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Everybody appeared to be happy and enjoying themselves, correct?
Everybody was enjoying each other's company, correct.
Specifically with regard to John O'Keefe and Karen Reed, they appeared to be quite happy that Kaylee had been accepted into Bishop Feehan, correct?
John, I recall talking to John about it, and he was happy that Kaylee was at Bishop Feehan. I do not recall speaking to Karen about Bishop Feehan, but definitely John was happy about Kaylee being in Bishop Feehan.
All right. You have previously testified that they were both excited about that. Have you not?
If I did, I did. I just know that John mentioned that he was out because he was excited about Kaylee being at Bishop Feehan. If I looped them both in, then they both were happy. I don't remember what I said when I said it. I didn't put it this way. I didn't see her. She wasn't happy about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I'm just going by your words, sir. As far as you could see, they were both excited about her acceptance, correct?
Yes, yes.
And they had just found out the previous day or so, correct?
I don't recall what day they found out, but I know that John mentioned he had went out for some beers. He was excited because Kaylee got into Bishop Feehan, and he mentioned he was out with another one of his friends whose daughter also got into Bishop Feehan.
Right. And it appeared to be new news, correct?
Oh, yes. It was news they were waiting on, yes.
Right. You hadn't heard it before. This is the first that you heard it, correct?
I don't know if I heard it, if a kid had already leaked it the day before or that day, but first I heard it from John.
All right. But it was clear to you that it was really important to John O'Keefe that Kaylee get into Bishop Feehan and go there, correct?
He was, they applied, he was excited for her to go there.
And it was clear that he believed it was an achievement for her, correct?
Yes.
And you could glean also that John O'Keefe felt like it was an achievement for him as well, correct?
Jackson, Your Honor.
Could you glean that from him?
He was happy that she got in. I don't know what he was, if he felt it was his achievement, he was happy for Kaylee.
Of course. And he was doing right by his sister's daughter, correct?
Jackson.
I don't know what that means. I can go to any school and do right.
All right. In any case, everything seemed good that night.
Everything was good.
There were no arguments.
There were no arguments that I saw.
John was drinking beer?
In my recollection, yes.
And you had previously testified that you saw Karen was drinking some type of clear liquid that you assumed was some type of vodka drink, correct?
That is correct.
But you didn't think that they were drinking much, correct?
At the waterfall? No. They were only there for an hour, so.
Right. And they got there around 11, correct?
Give or take, yep, 11-ish.
And that bar is pretty strict about last call, correct?
That is correct.
And you spoke with both of them during the course of the night, correct?
Yes.
Neither John nor Karen was intoxicated in your view, correct?
Jackson.
Can you answer that?
They were drinking. I don't know what the guideline of intoxication is, but they were drinking.
You recall testifying before the grand jury regarding this matter on April 26th of 2022?
If you have that, then I don't recall my questions, that question specific, but yes.
Right, well, I didn't ask you about the questions. I just asked if you recall testifying before the grand jury on that date.
I don't remember the date. I recall testifying before the grand jury.
Oh. If I suggested to you that it was April 26th of 2022, would you quarrel with that?
That was, no, did you say would I quarrel?
Yeah.
No, it was definitely around that time.
Okay. And at that grand jury presentation, Mr. Lally was there, correct?
Yes.
None of the defense team was there, correct?
No.
Karen Reed was not there, correct?
No.
And there was no judge there, correct?
No.
And April 26th was approximately 3 months after January 29th of 2022?
Yes.
Is it fair to say that your memory about whether or not John and or Karen was intoxicated would have been better on April 26th of 2022 than it would be today?
May we approach, Your Honor?
All right, I'll see you at 10 o'clock. Jurors, feel free to stand up.
Proceed?
Yes.
I had just asked you if your memory of your observations of Karen Reed and John O'Keefe from January 29th would have been better on April 26th of 2022 than it would be today.
Yes, I think that's fair to say.
And that's because your memory doesn't get better over time, correct?
I don't know. I would say it's fair to say, yes, my memory would be better that day.
And on that day, you were asked by Mr. Lally, quote, did either of them, strike that. I'm going to go back to the previous sentence just to put it in context.
Yes.
The previous sentence was from Mr. Lally, obviously you've had social occasions with Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed before, correct? And your answer was, oh, yes, right?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to let that one go.
My answer is yes, I had previous. I don't know if I said, oh, yes, but my answer was yes, of course, I had previous relationships with them.
I'm sorry, I cut you off, sir.
Of course, I had previous relationships with them.
All right. And the question that I wanted to direct you to, just to put it in context, was did either of them, speaking about John and Karen, on this particular evening seem sort of overly intoxicated to you? Do you recall that question?
I don't recall the specific question, but if that's the question.
And your answer was no to that?
Yes, if that's my answer, then it was no.
All right. In terms of whether you can confirm that that was the question and answer. If I showed you the transcript, would that refresh your memory?
Yes, of course okay. It would.
This is 2103 lines just 13 to 15 for counsel. And I didn't ask permission, Your Honor, I'm sorry.
Did either of them? Thank you.
Having reviewed that transcript, did I get the question and answer correct?
Yes, you did.
Okay, just a couple more things about the waterfall. I wanted to ask you about Brian Albert and Brian Higgins, sir.
Yes.
They were both there that night while you were there, correct?
Yes, they both were there.
And they are both pretty big guys, correct?
Objection.
Can you answer that?
Yes, they're good sized guys.
Did you see Brian Albert and Brian Higgins practicing fighting at the waterfall?
Practicing fighting?
Right. Did you see them kind of square up in a fighting stance to each other?
I recall them grabbing each other. I don't recall them squaring up like they were fighting each other. No, they were playing a little grab ass with each other. I did see them grab each other. I don't recall a physical, hey, let's go duke it out. I do not recall that.
Okay, so are you saying, taking you literally, that they grabbed each other's asses? Is that it?
No, I'm saying grab ass. It's a figure of speech.
Okay, but what they didn't grab each other. They were in a fighting stance, weren't they? Didn't they crouch down low with each other?
I'm telling you, I don't recall seeing them crouching in a fighting stance. I recall someone grabbing somebody. I don't remember who grabbed who. I just recall like a bear hug or something. I recall them doing a bear hug.
All right, so you recall them, one of them getting behind the other one and kind of restraining them or grabbing them?
I think there was a bear hug, yeah. That's what's in my memory. I don't.
And you would agree with me that after closing time, Brian Albert and Brian Higgins were two of the people who went back to 34 Fairview Road, the Albert home, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
But before everyone left, before you left, it was announced around the table that everyone was welcome back at Brian Albert and Nicole Albert's house, correct?
Yes.
Karen Reed and John O'Keefe were both there when that invitation was announced, correct?
Yes.
And you would agree that it was expected that Karen Reed and John O'Keefe would go to the Albert home that night, correct?
If they wanted to come, they were welcomed, yes.
And that plan would have been for them to go inside the Albert home, correct?
Yes.
Do you recall what time you left the waterfall?
I left the waterfall after midnight, give or take 12:10, 12:15-ish. I don't know the exact specific time. Well, a little before 12:15, but definitely 12:10-ish, 12:15-ish in there.
And you were one of the last to leave the waterfall?
Yes, as I had mentioned, Nick Kolakisis and I walked out together from the waterfall.
Your wife, Jennifer McCabe, had walked out of the bar physically before you did, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And you actually met her in the parking lot?
She was already in the vehicle in the parking lot, correct.
And then you got into the car to drive to the Albert's home, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. So I'm going to ask you about the ride back to the Albert's home in a bit, but right now I want to skip to when you got there, okay?
Okay.
When you first got there, your wife parked your vehicle in the driveway, correct?
Yes.
Which side of the driveway did she park your vehicle in?
As I mentioned yesterday, I don't recall if it was immediately on the left, meaning the left towards the lawn, or if she was in the next spot over. She pulled in. I don't remember exactly what if it was here or one spot over, but she pulled
in. In the driveway at that time?
I'd at least two. I don't recall if there was more than two.
So if there was at least two, that those two would have been parked abutting the garage area? In other words, would they be... let me rephrase. So there are two lanes in that driveway, correct?
My recollection is two lanes, but there is more space if you... I know when we go over and we've gone over, there's more space to kind of park three cars.
Right?
To the right, correct.
Okay.
But we weren't to the right. We were either left or middle.
You were behind one vehicle, whichever lane you were in, or were you pulled right up to one of the garage entrances?
I don't recall if we pulled all the way in or not, but I don't remember.
So there were at least two vehicles in the driveway before you got there, correct?
In the driveway?
Yes.
Yes, there were cars in the driveway.
And when you parked in the driveway, fair to say that there was no black SUV at the Alberts home?
Are you referencing Karen's SUV? I don't know what color the Alberts cars were.
Oh, okay.
Are you referencing their SUV?
Put it this way. Yes, I'm referencing Karen's SUV.
That was not at the home.
And that was not in the driveway, correct?
Karen's SUV was not in the driveway.
And it was not adjacent to the property or on the street anywhere that you could see?
Correct. It was not there.
All right. But you say that there was a Jeep in the street at that time, correct?
There was a Jeep parked in front of the end of the driveway in front of the mailbox.
And that Jeep belonged to Brian Higgins?
I found out it belonged to Brian Higgins. I didn't know it was his Jeep when I arrived.
And it had a plow on the front of it?
Yes, it did.
It was parked adjacent to the Alberts property on Fairview, facing toward up the hill toward Chapman Street, correct?
Yes.
And at the time that you arrived, that was the only vehicle that was parked on Fairview Street adjacent to the Albert property, correct?
Yes.
And your testimony is that that Jeep remained parked in front of the Albert house, just to the left of the driveway as you face the house, until Brian Higgins finally left and drove it away at the end of the night, correct?
That's my recollection, was his Jeep was out in front of the mailbox.
With the court's permission, could we display Exhibit 66?
Okay.
So, Mr. McCabe, I'm highlighting with a spotlight the front of the Alberts home. When I get to the point where the Jeep was parked, can you stop me? And you can adjust it right or left if I go too far.
Objection, Your Honor.
Can we have him use the print, the laser pointer first, and then?
Sure. I hope you're better than I am.
I was hoping I didn't have to do this.
You have the other laser pointer.
I don't have one.
That's fine.
No.
You could, please.
The Jeep was right there. From the edge of the driveway, right there. I believe it was a two-door Jeep.
Okay, it looks like part of the Jeep would have been blocking the driveway?
No. Where the mailbox is, the Jeep was right there.
Okay.
It was not blocking the driveway.
All right. I'm going
to step a moment. Sure.
The mailbox that's spotlighted there, would that have been where the back of the Jeep was?
Yeah, the back would have been right in the vicinity of the edge of the driveway in the mailbox.
I see. So it wasn't blocking the driveway at all when you saw it?
No.
And it was facing to the left as we look at Exhibit 66, correct?
Facing, heading to the left of the house, correct.
Okay. We can have the lights back on. And as you testified, that Jeep was there the whole night. Brian Higgins didn't go out to move it at any point, correct?
I never saw Brian Higgins go outside to move his Jeep.
About 5 minutes after you got to the Albert home that night, you saw a black SUV parked outside the home, correct?
Yes. Again, I don't know the exact minutes, but give or take, 4 or 5 minutes.
And when you saw that black SUV parked outside the Albert home, Higgins' Jeep was still there, correct?
Yes, to my recollection, the Jeep was still outside in front of the mailbox.
The black SUV was parked in front of Higgins' Jeep with the plow on the front, correct?
That's correct.
How far or close to that Jeep was the black SUV?
I don't recall the exact distance. Again, when I looked outside, I noticed my focus was on the black SUV, which looked outside would have been in front of the front door.
With regard to the distance between the Jeep and the black SUV, was it greater or smaller than the distance between you and me right now?
Oh, it'd be smaller. If I'm the end, if you're the end of the Jeep and I'm the end of the Lexus.
Let's say that I'm the rear end of the black SUV, and you're the front end of the Jeep.
Yeah, I'd say you'd be a little closer to me.
With the court's permission, may I walk closer to the witness so that he could give an estimate?
Sure.
And you can just stop me, sir.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, when I looked outside, I was focused on the SUV. I wasn't focused on the Jeep or the truck. I don't know the exact distance. You could walk 3 more feet or 3 feet that way, but it was out in front of the house. That's all I can tell you.
You will agree with me that you've given conflicting information about where the black SUV was when you first saw it?
If you tell me I gave conflicting information, you can show it to me. I don't recall. I've always said the SUV was in front of the house.
Right. And when you said in front of the house, you meant that as you look out the front door of the Albert residence, which on Exhibit 66 would have been the door to the left, that's the classic front door?
The classic front door looking at the house on the main part of the Colonial.
Looking straight out from there, that's where the black SUV was positioned, correct?
In that vicinity, correct.
Right. It would have been sort of directly in front of you as you look out that front door, correct?
Like I said, in the vicinity of looking out the front door was the black SUV. If it was 3 feet this way or 3 feet this way or 3 feet that way, I don't know. It was just out in front of the house.
Right. And that was where it was when you first spotted it, according to your testimony today, correct?
Yes.
But you spoke to Michael Proctor during the afternoon of January 29th, did you not?
Yes, I did.
That was the very day that these events occurred, correct?
Yes, it was.
You would agree with me that your memory of where that black SUV was when you first spotted it on January 29th would have been better on that very day than it would be today, correct?
Possibly, yes.
It's almost 2.5 years later?
2.5 years that I've lived in my memory, yes.
But your memory does not get better over time, correct?
Objection.
Sustain.
On January 29th of 2022, when you spoke to Michael Proctor, you told him that you saw a black SUV parked to the right of the residence as you look at the property from the street. Did you not?
I did not. Can you elaborate what you mean by to the right of the residence?
Well, I will just repeat the question. Did you tell Michael Proctor on January 29th of 2022 that you observed a big dark SUV parked to the right of the house?
What right? Looking at the house to the right or looking at the house to the left? When you say right, I don't know what you mean by right.
Is your memory exhausted as to what you told Michael Proctor?
No, not at all.
So if your memory is not exhausted, would you agree with me that while you were at 34 Fairview, you told Michael Proctor that you observed a big dark SUV parked to the right of the house?
That could have been the second time I informed him of seeing the SUV.
Okay. If I suggested to you that that was the first time, according to what you told Michael Proctor, would you dispute that?
Objection.
Sustained.
Is your memory exhausted as to whether or not that was the first or second time, according to what you told Michael Proctor?
My memory is not exhausted.
Okay, so if your memory is not exhausted, do you deny telling Michael Proctor that you observed a big dark SUV parked to the right of the house?
Objection.
Can you answer that?
I don't know if I can answer it. I believe it's the second question. I told him I saw an SUV and parked in front of the house. Then I saw an SUV move further up the road, which looking out of the house would be to the right of the house. So that would be when I saw the SUV to the right of the house, would be the second time I saw the SUV. I've always stated the SUV was in front of the house if looking out the front door.
Okay, so when you talked, so you deny telling Michael Proctor that when you first saw the SUV, by the way, sir, is this funny? I'm sorry.
This is not funny, sir. Not at all. It's been 2 years of misery.
Yeah. Well, okay. You're smiling now. That's why I ask.
You keep repeating the same question.
Well, I'm trying to get an answer that you won't give me, sir. When you talked to Michael Proctor on January 29th of 2022, when you first observed the big dark SUV, you said to him it was parked to the right of the house.
Objection.
This is the last time on that question. Is that right?
That is not right. The SUV, the first time, was in front of the house, in front of coming out the front door. The second time was it was to the right of the house.
All right.
You have to move on.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So you did not say that, but you did say that you were making those observations from the front door, correct?
As I stated yesterday, I recall.
That's a yes or no question. I'm sorry.
Objection, Your Honor.
Can you answer it yes or no?
I can't. I said yesterday it's either I was out, looked out the window and I looked out the front door. I don't remember which order.
Well, you told Michael Proctor that the first time you looked out, it was out the front door. Did you not?
I don't recall what I told Michael Proctor on April.
You don't recall. May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Page 2 of Proctor's report, counsel.
So next time, just show it to Mr.
Of course. I'm sorry. You'd read the first few sentences of that second paragraph.
Second paragraph.
Yes.
You had said that you don't remember what you told Michael Proctor. Did that report refresh your memory?
I'm not saying I don't remember what I told Michael Proctor.
Hold on.
I remember.
Hold on a second, sir. You just told this jury that you don't remember what you told Michael Proctor. Those were your words.
Yes, at the point I'm reading, I don't remember the exact wording. But I know what I told Michael Proctor.
All right. And you told Michael Proctor that you observed a big dark SUV parked to the right of the house. Did you not?
At some point in the conversation, yes, I told Michael Proctor that a big dark SUV moved to the right of the house.
Moved to the right of the house? Is that what you just said?
All right. Let me rephrase. At some point, there was a big dark SUV parked in front of the right of the house. I physically didn't see it move, so I need to rephrase. I can't say move.
Right, but what I'm concentrating on now, sir, is not what your memory is today or what you testified to the jury today. I'm concentrating on what you told Michael Proctor that very day on January 29th of 2022. Okay? And you initially told him that it was parked to the right of the house, the big dark SUV, and that you made those observations from the front door. And then you stated, you looked out the front window and,
objection, Your Honor.
And observed the same big dark SUV had moved to the other side of the property.
So
correct?
The objection sustained. You have to break that down. And I thought we moved on from this, Mr. Yannick. Well,
no, we haven't gotten to the second part of the...
So bring the document. I'll see you at sidebar.
Oh, thank you very much.
One last question. Thomas, Mr. Yonan.
Yes, with regard to Trooper Proctor's report that you have in front of you, right? It's II for identification?
Yes, I'm reading the report.
You will agree with me that he reported your conversation as saying that the vehicle was first to the right and then moved to the other side of the property, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
You testified before the grand jury regarding this issue on April 26th of 2022, did you not?
Yes, I did.
And you talked about the vehicle moving from point A to point B, correct?
Yes, at some point.
And you estimated that it was 15 to 20 feet or so that the SUV moved along the property line, correct?
Yes. Again, I don't know the exact distance, but estimates.
And you, at that point in time, you were asked to clarify what you had meant when you said that the vehicle was on first on the right side of the property. Do you recall that testimony?
I do not.
Do you recall that Mr. Lally asked you, to the right would have been toward the driveway side of the property and that you answered that's correct?
I don't remember the conversation. And again, to the right looking at the house or to the right looking out of the house?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. To the right looking at the house would be toward the driveway, correct?
To the right looking at the house would be toward the driveway,
right.
Correct.
And that's your testimony where the vehicle started out, correct? And then moved toward the flagpole the second time?
The vehicle started in front of the house and moved towards the flagpole, correct. So looking out of the house, it moved towards the right.
Now, excuse me. You told Michael Proctor that initially it was parked closer to the driveway or the mailbox when you first saw it, correct?
Objection.
Objection sustained. We were moving off of this, Mr.
Okay. Kennedy. Yes, Your Honor. Wherever it was when you first saw it, where was the Jeep in relation to that black SUV when you first laid eyes on the black SUV?
Again, I was focused on the black SUV. My recollection, the Jeep was still in the same spot, which we had pointed out earlier on the exhibit.
Correct? In terms of where it was facing, the black SUV was behind? I'm sorry, the Jeep was behind the black
SUV. Jeep would have been behind the black SUV, correct.
And wherever it was along that property line, you would agree with me that before the black SUV arrived outside the Albert home, you didn't notice any tire tracks in the snow on the street in front of the house, correct?
Before, yes, that's correct.
Before the black SUV arrived?
Correct.
And at all times that you saw the black SUV, first or second, it was always facing toward Chapman Street, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And it was always facing in the same direction that you say that Higgins' Jeep was facing, correct?
Yes.
And that would mean that the passenger side of the black SUV was the closest side to the Albert home, correct?
Yes.
And it was the closest side to you when you were first looking at it, correct?
Yes.
And now your testimony today is you don't recall if the first time you looked at that black SUV, it was through the front door or if it was through a front window, correct?
Correct. I don't recall which one I looked out first. I know I looked out both of them at some point. I just don't recall which one was first.
Whichever one it was, when you first laid eyes on that black SUV, you did not see John O'Keefe in the passenger seat, correct?
That is correct.
How long a span of time was it between the first time you looked out and saw the black SUV and the second time?
Again, I don't have the exact time. I'm going to guess 3, 4, 5 minutes at most.
And what you did in between those 3, 4, 5 minutes was you went back to the table or near the table in the kitchen dining room area where everybody was congregated?
That's correct.
And you went back there to talk to people and socialize, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And then you came back to the front of the house and either went to the front window or the front door, and that's when you noticed that the black SUV had moved to the other side of the property, correct?
Yes, at that moment, it had moved to the right of the property.
It had driven forward, correct?
I did not see it drive, but it moved, yes.
It had moved
forward. So it had to get there somehow, yes.
All right. It was now closer to the flagpole than it was the first time, correct?
That is correct.
And the flagpole, as you look at the property, not from your vantage point looking out, but as you look at the property from the street, that would have been to the left, correct?
Yes.
And again, it was still facing toward Chapman Street?
Yes.
In terms of how many times you saw the black SUV having moved outside the house, you would agree with me that you have contradicted yourself about how many times that it moved, correct?
No.
Yesterday and today, you testified that it had been in three different spots and then it was gone, correct?
Yes, three times I looked out and saw the SUV.
Right, and you know, again, on in May of 2024, yesterday and today, all three times it moved, it was moving further or farther up Fairview toward Chapman Street, correct?
Yes.
And in fact, you've testified now in May of 2024 that the third time that you saw it, the black SUV was even past the fire hydrant, just about to the neighbor's property, correct?
Yes.
But again, your memory of where it was the last time that you saw it, or how many times you saw it, I should say, would have been better on January 29th than today, correct?
Again, assumption, yes, I guess it should be.
And in fact, when you were talking to Michael Proctor, you had just observed the black SUV just hours before speaking to him, correct?
Yes.
Not 2.5 years before. Right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
When you spoke to Michael Proctor, you told him that you only saw the black SUV in two different spots, correct?
That's what it says on this paper. My recollection is always been I saw the black SUV in three different spots.
And you just called it a paper. It's a police report, correct?
Objection.
That's sustained, Mr. Iannetti.
Now, since you talked to Michael Proctor on January 29th of 2022, it's fair to say that you've had multiple conversations about this case with your family, correct?
Of course, I've talked about this case.
That includes in-person conversations, correct?
With my family?
Yes.
Yes.
As well as phone calls and texts?
Yes.
You've also, since you talked to Michael Proctor, have had multiple conversations about this case with your in-laws, correct?
Yes.
That also includes in-person conversations as well as phone calls and texts, correct?
That is correct.
And since you gave that statement to Michael Proctor, you've had multiple conversations specifically with Brian Albert, correct?
Yes, I've talked to Brian Albert.
That includes in-person phone calls and texts, correct?
That is correct.
Would you agree with me that in terms of the changes in your version of events from what you've testified during this trial to what is in Michael Proctor's report, you put the SUV farther down Fairview toward Chapman Street now, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Your testimony during this trial puts the SUV past the fire hydrant, almost toward the neighbor's house, correct?
That is correct.
But however many times you saw that black SUV, you'd agree with me you never observed any damage to the rear of that vehicle, correct?
Correct.
Never saw any damage to the rear right taillight, correct?
Correct.
You'll also agree with me that every time you saw that black SUV, the vehicle had its headlights on, correct?
I was looking, as we talked about it moving up the property, I was looking at the back. I could see the back of the SUV. The assumption is the headlights were on, but I wasn't looking at the headlights.
All right. Well, that would have meant that the area in front of the vehicle was lit up, correct?
Yes, but like I said, it was further up the road.
Now, sometime after that black SUV first arrived, you noticed that there were tire tracks, in a V shape on the street in front of the Albert home, correct?
That's correct.
And those tire tracks were from the curb in front of 34 Fairview toward the neighbor's property across the street and then back toward the curb, correct?
Yes, it came out waved out towards the to the cross the street and came back in.
All right. And the pattern of those tire tracks that you observed were consistent with the vehicle making a three-point turn, correct?
Objection.
Can you answer that?
I don't know if the vehicle made a three-point turn. It could be consistent with because it was a wavy pattern.
Okay.
I've never looked at a tire tracks after I've done a three-point turn to determine what they actually look like, but in and back out.
There was nothing about those tire tracks that ruled out a three-point turn to you, correct?
No.
All right. You didn't see those tire tracks again until the black SUV arrived at the home, correct?
I didn't, you mean, yes, I didn't see them previous to the black SUV.
And Higgins' Jeep was already there before the black SUV arrived, correct?
Yes.
So Higgins' Jeep was already parked and stationary when there were no tire tracks in that area, correct?
I didn't notice, I parked my car, we parked in the driveway and I walked into the house, so I wasn't looking at the tire tracks. So, but
see,
Higgins' Jeep was already parked.
Right, right. You didn't see tire tracks at that point, is my point.
Yeah, well, I didn't see any.
And at the point that you saw those tire tracks, there were no other vehicles in the area along the Albert family property line on Fairview other than Higgins' Jeep and the black SUV, correct?
That's my recollection, yes.
Okay, so now we're going to go back to where I had left off with regard to meeting your wife, Jennifer McCabe, in the car after leaving the waterfall. You recall that we sort of left off with you getting in the car and starting to drive home.
Yes.
Once you got inside the car, your wife ultimately called John O'Keefe along the ride home, correct?
John O'Keefe had texted my wife, and my wife had called him. He was asking where to, we think he was asking for the where to, where's the address, so she called him to tell him.
And you knew that he was asking that because the Bluetooth of the car was connected to her phone, correct?
I believe the Bluetooth was on. Again, I could hear his conversation.
Yeah.
My assumption is the Bluetooth was on.
Right. You could hear both sides of the conversation, correct?
I could hear John as well, yes.
Yeah, your wife and John, correct?
Well, yes, I was sitting next to my wife. I could hear her.
And you heard John tell your wife that he was planning to go to 34 Fairview, correct?
Yes.
He had told your wife in your presence that he and Karen would meet your wife and you there, correct?
He said we're on our way.
Right. And you knew, again, the plan was to go inside 34 Fairview, correct?
Yes, that was the plan.
You heard your wife tell John that 34 Fairview's off Chapman Street, correct?
Either. I was also talking, so I don't know if my wife was repeating, but yes, we did say off of Chapman Street.
It could have been you, could have been your wife, but he was
yes.
told it was off Chapman Street, right?
That's correct, yes.
And then your wife hung up with John, at least temporarily, but then John called back, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
He indicated he needed more specific directions to 34 Fairview, correct?
Yes.
And then you heard your wife, or maybe you participated in the conversation, I won't rule that out, but between the two of you, you did give him more specific directions, correct?
Yes, we did.
And either you or your wife, and you can correct me if you know if it's one or the other, but one of you told him to go down Chapman and take Fairview as if they were going to Bella's house, correct?
Yes, we had mentioned go down Chapman to Fairview. Jerry, you know where Bella lives. Drive past Bella's street. The house will come up on your left.
Right, and I believe you previously explained that Bella was a friend of John's niece, Kaylee, and also your daughter, Olivia, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So that was a good way to orient him as to where to go, correct?
Yes.
And once you did that, John O'Keefe never called back for any clarification, correct?
Yes, not to my recollection.
All right, and with regard to your state of mind, based on that conversation and the instructions that either you or your wife or both of you gave John, you certainly assumed that John and Karen would be arriving at Fairview coming from the Chapman Street direction, correct?
That was my assumption.
Okay.
As I had stated yesterday, there's multiple ways to go, but that was my assumption.
And it was an educated assumption based on the conversation that you had, correct?
Yes.
May I approach the witness, Your Honor?
Okay.
Google Maps, it just shows Seacrest and Chapman.
If I may hand the
yes.
Thank you.
Document. I have handed you something. If you could a look and tell the jury whether you recognize what that depicts?
Yes, this is a map showing Cedar Crest Road intersecting with Fairview Road. On the opposite side shows Chapman Street intersecting with Fairview, as well as other streets in the, it's called the Cedar Crest neighborhood, in the Cedar Crest neighborhood.
Okay. And realizing that you don't have a compass or a ruler, does it appear to be generally to scale in terms of where the roads are?
Yes.
And it appears to be a fair and accurate depiction of the layouts of particularly Cedar Crest, Fairview, and Chapman Street?
Yes.
Okay. I would offer that, Your Honor.
Is there any objection?
No.
Exhibit 86, Your Honor. And Mr. McCabe, why don't we hand over the other one?
May I display that for the jury, Your Honor?
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Well, what is displayed on the screen, Mr. McCabe? Does that appear to be what I just showed you in Exhibit 88?
Yes.
You see that there's a red bubble there. Does that have any meaning to you as you look at the map?
Yes, it'd be the location of 34 Fairview.
Okay. And as we look at the map, Cedar Crest is up the top and Chapman is down the bottom?
That is correct.
With regard to the directions that you gave, or your wife gave John O'Keefe, if they were coming as you directed them on Chapman Street, would they be taking a right onto Fairview or a left?
If they went the way that we mentioned, they'd be taking a left.
Okay, so in terms of looking at this map, they'd be traveling on Chapman Street really from the left to the right as you look at Exhibit 88, correct?
Yes, left to right, correct.
All right, and that would allow them to take a left down Fairview heading towards Cedar Crest, correct?
That is correct.
And you would agree with me that that would put the driver's side closest to the Albert property if they just kept going straight all the way to Cedar Crest, correct?
Yes, the driver's side would have been closest to the property.
Okay, we can turn the lights back on. That would mean, well, strike that. So you agree with me that your state of mind was that was the direction that they would go?
That's what I thought they would have, that's how I thought they would have come into the neighborhood, correct.
But you never saw the black SUV traveling in that direction or parked in that direction, correct?
That's correct.
That would mean that in order for the SUV to be facing in the other direction, one way would be for it to make a three-point turn, correct?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
We're saying if they came down from Chapman and then spun around and facing back up towards Chapman, is what you're asking? Yes, at some point she would have had to turn around.
Or do a three-point turn, correct?
She could do a three-point turn, or she could just loop around at Cedar Crest and come back up. Either one.
Right. And a three-point turn would be consistent with what the V-shaped tire tracks that you saw when you looked out the front of Brian Albert's house, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
When you were interviewed by Michael Proctor on January 29th of 2022, you had not spoken with Ryan Nagle, correct?
No.
So it's fair to say you did not know what, if anything, Ryan Nagle had seen in terms of how or what direction the black SUV arrived in, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
When you spoke to Michael Proctor on January 29th of 2022, the phone conversation that your wife had with John O'Keefe that you were either participating in or listening to, that was regarding the directions. That was fresh in your mind on January 29th, correct?
Yeah.
Those directions had just been given to John you know, the night before or really hours before, correct?
Yes.
So, on January 29th, when you're talking to Michael Proctor, believing that John had driven down Chapman Street, you were trying to square in your own mind how the vehicle wound up in the other direction when you looked out the house, correct?
Objection.
Were you?
Can you just repeat that again?
Yeah,
I think I heard you. I just want to make sure.
It wasn't a great question. I'll see if I can make it any better. You're talking with Michael Proctor on January 29th in the afternoon, correct?
Yes.
And he's asking you about the positioning of the black SUV, among other things, correct?
Yes.
Again, I'm just getting to your state of mind. Your state of mind was that, you know, you gave the direction, you or your wife, gave the directions to John, and you're thinking he came down Chapman, but you never saw the vehicle in that direction. It was only in the other direction facing toward Chapman. Is that fair?
Yes.
And so you're naturally trying to square in your own mind, trying to make it make sense as to how that happened, correct?
Objection.
You can answer that. Were you trying to square that in your own mind?
I wasn't trying to. I don't know if I was trying to square it. I just knew that for some reason her vehicle was facing up Chapman. Okay. Are you asking?
All right.
I didn't know what she did. I just know her vehicle was facing up Chapman.
And to you, that was the significance of the V-shaped tire tracks when you were talking to Proctor, right?
Objection.
Was it?
If I recall, I said there was a V-shaped tire tracks, and I believe the question was, could it be consistent with a three-point turn? I said it could be.
Okay.
I didn't know if it was a three-point turn. It could be because it was weird tracks. Again, I did not see the vehicle. I don't know if she pulled in the driveway and turned. I don't know if she went to Cedar Crest and turned. I don't know if she did a three-point turn and turned. I have no idea.
All right, but just one last question on this three-point turn. You offered the V-shaped tire tracks as an explanation for what could have happened, correct?
Objection.
How old are you?
I had stated there was a V-shaped tire tracks. I didn't say it was a three-point turn.
All right. Well, you'd agree with me in any case that if John and Karen entered from Cedar Crest and you saw them where you saw them, there'd be no need for a three-point turn, correct?
So you're saying if she didn't come from Chapman, she came from the other side, Cedar Crest, there would be no need for a three-point turn? Any type of turn, because she was already facing that way.
That's right. If she came from Cedar Crest, she's already in the very direction that you saw the black SUV when you looked out, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, your testimony during this trial is that you were looking straight out from the house to the street. And, you know, again, I understand your qualification. It could have been 3 feet this way or 3 feet that way. But your memory is that the car was essentially right in front of you, give or take, the first time you saw it.
My memory is the car was right in front of the front door.
Yes, okay. And you were looking straight at it, correct?
As I had stated earlier, the first time I looked out, I don't recall if I was looking straight out from the front door or if I was peeking out through the window, but it was my sight would have had it lined up in front of the front door. So if I looked out from the front door, then it would have been, yes, straight in front of me.
And you would agree with me that when you were looking at the vehicle from wherever you were looking at it, you were looking straight over the front lawn, correct?
I would have been looking over the lawn, correct. Again, I was focused on the vehicle.
Tracks were
hold on, Mr. Unetti.
I said I was focused on the vehicle. I was focused.
I didn't know that he was not done with his answer.
My fault.
We only can have one person speaking at a time. The court reporter can't be expected to have two different people at the same time. So please be cautious. The lawyer needs to be cautious.
I will try, Your Honor. Did you get your full answer out, sir?
I did.
Okay. You would agree with me that the V-shaped tire tracks were farther away from you than the front lawn?
Yes, they were on the road.
And if you were able to clearly see those V-shaped tire tracks, you certainly were able to clearly see the Albert's front lawn, correct?
As I mentioned, I was looking over the lawn, but I'm assuming the lawn was somehow in my visibility. I wasn't focusing on the lawn.
Okay. I'm going to try that question again and see if I can get a yes or no answer. If you were able to clearly see the V-shaped tire tracks, you were certainly able to clearly see the Albert's front lawn, correct?
If I looked at it, it's a confusing question. As I said, I was focused on the road. I wasn't looking at the lawn.
But let me be clear. I'm not asking you if you looked at it. I asked if you were able to clearly see it.
I would be able to, yes.
And when you looked out at that black SUV, you and saw the V-shaped tire tracks, you did not see a 6'2" man lying on the front lawn, correct?
No, I did not.
And at no point in time, whenever you looked at that black SUV, did you see John O'Keefe inside the vehicle, correct?
No, I did not see John in the vehicle.
At no point in time did you hear any yelling outside 34 Fairview, correct?
No, I did not.
At no point in time did you hear any scream of pain outside 34 Fairview, correct?
No, I didn't.
At no point in time did you ever hear any crash noises outside 34 Fairview?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
No.
And last question on this point, at no point did you hear any noises at all outside 34 Fairview that attracted your attention?
No, there's music playing in the house, so I didn't hear anything.
Okay. Now, after being at the Albert home for a period of time early that morning, you left the home approximately 1:40 a.m. or so?
Yeah, give or take 1:40, 1:45. I don't know the exact time.
And you walked out with your wife, Jennifer McCabe, and two of Brian Jr.'s friends, correct?
Brian's two friends were joining Jennifer and I. We were driving them home.
And whether you knew their names or not that night, you subsequently learned their names to be Sarah Levinson and Julie Nagel?
That's correct.
And you all came out of the house together, correct?
I don't recall who was where when we walked to the car, but we all left the house at the same time.
And directly in front of all of you was the front lawn, correct?
If I was to walk straight out the front door, yes, the front lawn's in front of me.
And when you were walking out, the black SUV was gone, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And when you first came out of the house facing that front lawn, you didn't see a black baseball cap, correct?
That's correct.
Or a black sneaker, correct?
That's correct.
Or 45 pieces of red plastic taillight, correct?
That's correct.
Or even one, correct?
That's correct.
And once again, you didn't see a 6'2" man lying on the front lawn, correct?
No, I wish I did, but I didn't.
As you were walking out with your wife and these two other women, none of them yelled that they saw anything like that, correct?
Correct.
And then you all piled into the vehicle which was in the driveway, correct?
Yes.
You and your wife got into the front, the driver's seat and the passenger seat, correct?
Yes, I sat in the driver's seat. My wife was in the passenger seat. I had to brush off the car, but that's where we sat.
And the other two women who were friends with Brian Jr. got into the second row passenger seat, correct?
Yes.
And I believe your testimony is you don't know who was where within that, but they did get in there.
Yes, they were behind us. I don't know who sat in what seat.
Once you got inside the vehicle, is that when you realized that you had left something back into the house?
I don't recall leaving something in the house.
I'm sorry?
I don't recall leaving something in the house. I don't. If I did. I don't recall leaving something in the house.
You don't recall going back into the house?
No, I don't recall going back into the house.
If you went back into the house, the front lawn would have been directly in front of you from the driveway, correct?
The lawn would have been to my left, and I would have went up the walkway
right.
To the house.
Okay, well, that's my next question. When you went up the walkway, the front lawn would have been to your left, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And then coming out, you would have had the same view that you'd had the first time, correct?
Yes, I would have come back out the same way, down the steps to the left.
And without going through all the various items that I asked you about in terms of not seeing on the front lawn, you know, the sneaker, the cap, the taillight, etc., you didn't see any of that stuff at any point the second time, correct?
Correct. I did not see anything.
Okay, so now you're finally back in your vehicle and you are backing out of the driveway, correct?
Yes.
Is it fair to say that to get to your, well, strike that. Is it fair to say that to drop the women off, your plan was to head toward Chapman Street?
Yes, that's what we did.
Which would mean that as you back out of the driveway, the rear end of your car would have been facing towards Cedarcrest.
Correct.
And then you would straighten out, and now you've got a straight shot up toward Chapman Street, correct?
Yes.
And it would also mean that you drove the length of the Alberts property, correct?
Yes.
While you did that, sir, Julie Nagel never said, what was that, did she?
I did not hear Julie say that.
She never said she had seen a black object, correct?
I did not hear her say that.
She never said that she saw a black blob, correct?
I did not hear her say that.
And she didn't say that the black blob that she supposedly saw was 5 or 6 feet in length, correct?
Again, I did not hear her say it.
And she never said that she might have seen a person, correct?
I did not hear her. You talk about in the car?
Correct.
Yeah, I did not hear her say it in the car.
And you were right there driving, correct?
I was driving, obviously focused on the road, the windshield wipers, it was snowing pretty heavily.
You didn't have earplugs in?
I didn't, but they were all talking in the car.
You didn't have AirPods in?
No, I didn't.
Certainly not the noise cancellation AirPods, correct?
Correct. I did not have AirPods in.
And you never stopped the car because you never heard Julie Nagel say anything about anybody being in trouble, correct?
I did not hear her say it.
Okay. You woke up the next morning, as you said, to screaming, correct?
Yes.
The screaming was so loud that you thought that the person screaming was actually in your bedroom, correct?
That is correct.
That was, and it startled you, fair to say?
Yes, it did.
And then ultimately, you learned that Karen Reed ended up in your driveway, correct?
Yes.
You could hear her screaming outside, correct?
I could hear her outside, correct.
She was hysterical.
She was screaming, Jen. She just kept repeating, Jen.
In a hysterical manner.
Yeah, Jen, Jen, yes.
And she was screaming so loud that she was in danger of waking up the whole neighborhood, correct?
She was loud, correct.
And other than screaming, Jen, Jen, in that hysterical tone, you really couldn't make out her words a lot of the time, correct?
Not when she was outside my house, no.
Skipping ahead to when you went back to Fairview that morning, it's fair to say that did you say that you went inside Fairview at maybe around 7 a.m.? Is that a good estimate?
Yeah, I don't know the exact time, but it would say give or take, could be a little before, a little after, but somewhere in that vicinity.
And I believe you testified that the only people inside that you saw there were your wife, Brian Albert, and Nicole Albert, in addition to Officer.
At that moment, that's who I recall seeing there.
Okay, so there were, and you didn't know where Brian Jr. was, whether he was sleeping, but you didn't see him.
I don't recall seeing him at that moment, no.
Okay, and Officer Lank was the only police official that you saw inside, correct?
At that moment, correct.
Okay, now, in the days after January 29th, you participated in a group text exchange with three other people. Do you recall that?
Could you name the three people?
Sure. You had a group text chat going with your wife, Jennifer McCabe, your brother-in-law, Brian Albert, and your sister-in-law, Nicole Albert, correct?
Oh, yes.
I'd like to ask you some questions about that group text chat, if I might.
Sure.
You would agree with me that on February 1st of 2022, that was 3 days after John O'Keefe passed away, correct?
Yes.
And at some point on February 1st of 2022, you were physically either at or near the Albert home at 34 Fairview in Canton, correct?
I could have been. I don't recall if I was there.
You recall watching what investigators were doing in the neighborhood on February 1st?
I do not. If you could show it to me, I could maybe reflect my memory. I do not recall that specific day.
You don't recall monitoring what troopers were doing in the
I was not monitoring anything that the troopers were doing. If I had driven down the street, dropping someone off, picking somebody up, and saw the troopers, then I saw the troopers. I was not monitoring anything.
Directing your attention to 1:34 p.m. and 27 seconds, you texted your wife, Brian Albert, and Nicole Albert, quote, "Troopers back out front, but in front of Asian house." Did you not?
If I texted that, you could show it to me.
May I approach your mic?
Yes. No, show it to him. Don't.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Touch it?
Oh, you show it to him.
Show it to Mr. Miller. And don't reference what it is. Okay?
You think this is my first trial? Thank you. I'm showing you a document, sir, and if you look up or look at it,
I don't. I don't use glasses, but I can't see this, so maybe I need glasses. I'm making it out. I got it.
I do have
it. Is it a light?
No, he says he doesn't.
No, it's not. It's just dark. But I got it. What the hell? Who is
that? If you're struggling,
I'm reading mine, right? The middle one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You take
yeah.
all your time. The time.
Yep, I got it. Yep, I see it.
Okay. If I may just grab
yes.
that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Having reviewed that document, is your memory refreshed?
I see that I texted what you said I texted. The troopers were outside of the house, yes.
Right, that's my question. This is a page that contains the group text that you had with Jen McCabe, Brian Albert, and Nicole Albert, correct?
Yes.
And in terms of the question that I asked you, you now acknowledge that you testified troopers back out front, but in front of Asian house, correct?
That's correct.
Mr. McCabe, what is an Asian house?
The next door neighbors to the Alberts were Asian.
So you mean that a family of Asian origin lived next door?
Yes.
They were the next door neighbors to your brother-in-law and sister-in-law?
Correct. They lived, if you come out of Fairview, they lived to the right of the Alberts.
And did you know their last name was the Chungs?
I had no idea that. I've never met them. I don't know their last names. I just knew it was an Asian family next door.
And you didn't feel the need to ask their names or try to call them by their names?
Objection. I've never met them, sorry.
Objections sustained. You know what, Ms. Giannetti, let's come to sidebar, please.
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.